Good morning. It's great to have you along with us this morning. You know, some folks don't believe that Jesus needs to be the subject of our preaching. They think that certain principles are all that need to be taught, like love and grace. But Jesus should be the theme of all preaching. If it were not for Jesus, we wouldn't have a reason to preach. And as we preach to others and teach to others, we need to make sure that we maintain this thought process. We must preach Jesus. We have many examples in the New Testament of preaching Jesus. Even when being beaten, the apostles were preaching Jesus. If you turn to Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 40, we can read this account. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 40. They took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Even under adverse conditions, the apostles did not stop preaching Jesus. If you turn to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Verse 8. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and he astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." You see, Philip preached Christ in Samaria, and he gained everybody's attention because they wanted to hear about Jesus. And he continued to preach Jesus. We read in verses 34 and 35 of Acts chapter 8, where Philip was teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. And then it says in verse 34, "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?' And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him." So the Ethiopian eunuch was studying the scriptures, but he wasn't quite sure what he was talking about. So Philip comes in, and it says that he preaches unto him Jesus. And we'll see a bit later what happened once the eunuch understood Jesus. But let's look in Acts chapter 9. At verse 20, we see that Paul, right after his own conversion, began to preach Jesus. We read in Acts chapter 9 at verse 20, "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." And Paul preached Jesus in Thessalonica. We see in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them for three Sabbaths and reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ.'" It was Paul's mission to preach Jesus, and we should be doing the same today. Paul continued to preach Jesus everywhere he went. Paul preached Jesus and his resurrection at Athens, verse 16. "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And Paul even wrote about his preachings in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 23. It says, "But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, we see these examples of preaching Jesus throughout the New Testament. But what does it really mean to preach Jesus? Well, let's begin with what preaching Jesus isn't. First of all, it's not preaching ourselves. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 5 helps us understand that. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." And preaching Jesus isn't preaching another Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 4. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." You see that Paul is explaining to the church at Corinth here to not accept those things. Don't put up with people teaching anything other than Jesus the Christ. Preaching Jesus as simply a good man is not enough. Preaching merely on love and kindness, etc., is not enough. Abstaining from pointing out error is not preaching Jesus. Avoiding controversial issues is not preaching Jesus. If we're preaching Jesus, all of these things will be included. So don't get drawn in to preachers and teachers who simply talk about love and grace and they leave out everything that Jesus stands for, Jesus the Christ. So what is it that preaching Jesus is? Well, preaching Jesus includes his death, burial, and resurrection. Acts chapter 17 at verse 2. Acts chapter 17, 2 and 3, again we read, "Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, 'This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ.'" And it includes Jesus' perfect, sinless life. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 21. Says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes you were healed." And preaching Jesus includes his gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." And Paul says, "Preach the word," or "preach the gospel. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." Paul is saying, even when people don't want to hear this, Timothy, preach it anyway. Even when people don't want to hear the gospel, preach it anyway, because it's always right. Some people aren't going to accept it. Some people aren't going to want to hear it. But preach it anyway, because that's what God would have you to do. But we turn to Mark chapter 16 at verse 15. And it says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" We must be preaching Jesus the gospel of Jesus and the fact that he is the Son of God, just as we read in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, when Paul was preaching just that. Preaching Jesus and his gospel means that we've got to warn people. We read in Colossians chapter 1 at verse 28, it says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And preaching Jesus and his gospel would not be complete if we didn't teach his plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation, of course, is upon hearing the word of God, one must believe it to be true, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Then we must begin to live a faithful life. If we leave any of those steps out, we have not followed the plan of salvation. Let's read in Acts chapter 8 again at verse 35. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him." And it goes on, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And then Philip said to him, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he went and commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." We see right there God's plan of salvation being enacted. We must do the same if we want salvation. We must preach Jesus. And what are the results of preaching Jesus? Well, the church will grow. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 reads, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying." And then in Acts chapter 2, at verse 41, we see that if we preach Jesus, people will believe. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." And people do reject the gospel from time to time, but some people want to hear more. Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, it says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed." We should teach nothing but Jesus Christ. We should obey nothing but Jesus Christ. And we should rejoice when Jesus Christ is preached. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15 says, "Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in the pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Do you want to hear Jesus when you're listening to a preacher or someone teach? Or do you just want to hear those feel-good sermons that make you feel good but aren't necessarily everything you need to learn or everything that you need to understand? Make sure you look into the Bible to find the truth. Don't listen to man. Listen to God. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can stop by and see us at one of our services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, and then again at 6 p.m. for worship services. And we meet for Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. You could call, if you'd like, 304-727-0761, or you can send me an email at wvdj105@aol.com. Let us know if we can help you. Come see us. And thanks for joining us for Words of Truth.